ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today on this most sacred and joyful day, Sri Janmashtami, we shall read from a very beautiful verse from the prayers of Queen Kunti, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 36.
Shrinvanti gayanti grinantya bhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha ta eva pashyantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padam bhujam.
This is a very inspiring verse. It inspires us to take to the primary activities of Krishna consciousness by hearing and chanting. So those of you who have imbibed the good habit of learning verses can also learn this verse.
Do you have the Bhagavatam in Russian?
Yes. Every day and every moment of our lives and life after life, we should hear about, chant, and repeat the transcendental activities of Lord Sri Krishna and take pleasure in others doing so. Unfortunately, we have since time immemorial neglected to do this, and therefore we are hearing, chanting about, repeating and remembering activities of persons who are not Krishna. Festival days like Janmashtami particularly give us the opportunity and the inspiration to hear about, chant about and remember Krishna. So let us hear about, chant about, and remember Krishna, and take pleasure in others doing so. Who is Krishna? The son of Nanda. He is the son of Nanda. That is correct. Any other descriptions of Krishna? Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. A cowherd boy from Vrindavan. True, he's a cowherd boy from Vrindavan, but there are many cowherd boys from Vrindavan. Gopi Janda Vallabha. What does that mean? Beloved of the gopis. Alright. Yashoda Nanda, the loving son of Nanda Yashoda. The supreme enjoyer. Friend of all living entities. What's the Sanskrit for that? From Bhagavad Gita. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Rishikesh. Who said that? What does that mean? That controller of the senses. Then we can go on all day. We can go right up to midnight with it. Wait a minute. One by one. From the ladies, we had something. They said something, but it got drowned out in the flood of enthusiastic descriptions of Krishna. What was it from ladies' side? The source of all harmony, the source of all pleasure. Then, what else?
Madhava.
Madhava. Madhava? Means husband of the goddess of fortune. That's true. Another meaning of the name Madhava, descendant, yeah, Madhusudan, killer of the Madhu demon. Madhava also means descendant of the Madhu dynasty. Then, Keshava. What does that mean? Any other meanings of Keshava? Who is the lord of Brahma and Shiva. Then, what else? Padmanabha. Padmanabhaya Namaha. What does Padmanabha mean? Who can say what Padmanabha means? People who enable comes. Lotus navel, yeah, one from whose navel comes a lotus, whose navel is as beautiful as a lotus. In Damodar we also have Vishwambhara means, more specifically, one who supports, maintains you. Jagannath, someone with big eyes, he's watching you. Not usually in Vrindavan or Dwarka. We don't find Nrisingadev dancing with the gopis. Beloved of Srimati Radharani. Alright, so these are some. We got the answer, who is Krishna, mostly by hearing some of his names. And these names are connected with his forms, qualities, and pastimes. For the conditioned souls who are accustomed to hear, chant, and remember other things than Krishna, it is most important to understand him first of all as Bhagavan. What does Bhagavan mean? Possessor of six opulences. What are those six opulences? Who knows the verse? Who knows the verse? Who said the Sanskrit verse? That's right. So, Aishwarya, that means? Aishwarya is right. Virya, Yasha, as the one you missed. Yasha. Shriya means?
Beauty.
Jnana and Vairagya. Okay, so Bhagavan means one who has got these six opulences, right? Is that right?
No.
Yes or no? So then I'm also Bhagavan. I also have some wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, renunciation. Not very much of any of them, but something. The one who possesses them in full, that is the difference between Bhagavan and us. We should understand this very clearly. What's another famous verse which describes the supremacy of Krishna? Say this, Ishvara. Parama
Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadira Adira Govinda Sarvakaranaka.
Who can say the translation? Nadnajiti? No? You can't say the translation? You can say it in Russian, you don't have to say it in English. Someone? So now we are hearing and chanting about and remembering Krishna and taking pleasure in others doing so. The most wonderful person is Krishna. So Krishna is supreme, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And we are not Krishna. I'm just saying that in case we were thinking we were. Which is a ridiculous proposition, which is why you're laughing. But everyone in the material world is thinking like that. Even the little ant crawling around, of course he doesn't have very developed intelligence or philosophy. But in his ant-like way, he's thinking, I am the most powerful, opulent, famous, beautiful, knowledgeable, and renowned ant. And then someone walking along crushes him to death. And without even knowing that he's done so. And the ant, imagining himself to be full of so many qualities, goes on to another body to imagine himself to be the supreme enjoyer. So Krishna actually is the supreme personality of Godhead. And we are in relationship to him very, 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 small. Just, I mean, I could say it a few more times, but I think you got the point. No. I didn't say it right. I said very, 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 very. You left out a few achins. Anyway, you got the point. We just raise it to the power of. Now, some professed theists, they do not accept that God comes to this world. Or rather, they do not accept that he comes in what we perceive as human-like form. They say that God is so great, we cannot see him. Or if they hear the descriptions of Krishna, they say, that cannot be God. God is far, far above us. God cannot be a person because a person has defects. A person is dependent upon others and God is independent. So they refuse to accept the avatar or the descent of the Supreme Person. Actually, this word term we use, avatar, which means he descends, but in another sense, Krishna is already here. Krishna is in everyone's heart. He's in every atom. So he comes from his supreme abode, but actually he's also already here. So why does he come? Or how can we accept that he comes? Some professed theists say that, well, if God comes among us like that, then he can't be God. He loses his godness. Or according to Christian theology, not what Christ taught, but according to Christian theology, God comes as man. And therefore, so that he can suffer like man. And in this way, he removes all the sins of those who believe in him. Is that Orthodox Christian teaching? That's in Catholic and Protestant teaching. I don't know if it's in they teach the same thing. But that means that sin, in one sense, is more powerful than God if he has to undertake some suffering to atone for it. Or if God is in any way subject to material suffering, then how is he God? So actually, to understand Krishna, it's not such an easy thing. As he states in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyatva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sojuna. Please give the translation. One who understands tatvataha in all respects about my janma, my birth and my karma, my activities, never himself has to come to this world for further janma and karma. Now, just prior to this, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, he describes himself as aja, without birth. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, he states, namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha, that I am not attached to doing any kind of work. I have no desire for the fruits of any work. So what does it mean about Krishna's janma and his karma? This has to be understood very carefully. What is the transcendental nature of Krishna? That's why if we only hear about him as the enjoyer of the gopis, as the butta thief, and without understanding his transcendental nature, then we won't really understand who is Krishna. We may take his pastimes as some charming folk stories. But to actually understand Krishna, we have to understand him as he describes himself in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, please go on hearing and chanting from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all these books regularly. Because by doing so, we can understand Krishna. Then we can actually chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna means to pray to Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. But if we don't understand how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are his eternal servants, then we will not have the impetus to pray like this. And because we are in this material world, we are surrounded by the atmosphere of everyone playing the false enjoyer. So, unless we regularly hear and chant about Krishna, we'll also become, by association, we'll be affected by the consciousness that I am meant to enjoy this material world. So let us regularly discuss about Krishna. Today we're discussing why Krishna comes to this world. What does he say in Bhagavad Gita? Why he comes to this world? Two famous verses. What's before that? Yada, yada. Say together, yada yada hi dharmasya vanirbhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sridhamyam sadhunam vinashaya chadushvitam dharma samsthapanardhaya sambhavami yuga yuga. Where's our pandit? There's one pandit. There's another pandit. They're all saying, yada yada hi dharma seklaniya bhavati bharata. What would bhavati mean? Should be bhavati. What would bhavati? It means they're causing glani or disturbances to take place. Is it? No, bhavati means, but bhavati. They're saying bhavati. And it becomes instrumental, no? Yeah, well, that's another. Bhavati, glani bhavati bhavata. Alright, then. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadushkritam dharma sangsthapanarthaya sambhavami. Yuge, yuge. So, What is this meaning of this first verse? Yada yada hi dharma sahukam. First verse and second verse.
Vritranaya sadhuna.
Okay, well, many seem to know it. Can you say in the mic, please? Now,
Vritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam.
Destroying the demons, Krishna can do through his material energy. There is no demon more powerful than Parameshwari, the supreme controller of this material world. Parameshwari, she is known as. She is the wife of Parameshwar, Lord Shiva. Of course, the real Parameshwar and Parameshwari are Krishna and Radha. But within this material world, this control is given to Shiva and his wife, Durga. So even the great demons, they cannot defy material nature. They cannot defy Lord Shiva. Before Ravan, long before Ravan was vanquished by Lord Ram, he was defeated by Lord Shiva. And he took blessings from Lord Shiva to become a bigger rascal. So Krishna incidentally kills demons. Who are some of the demons that Krishna killed? Who was the first one? Purutana, Hiranyaksha. It's the wrong day. He did, but not in the form of Krishna. First was Putana, Putana Rakshasi. Then, Navarata, Shakatasura, Bakasura, Akasura,
Denukasura.
Who killed Denuka?
Akasura
is already said. Vatsasura. Saying again and again. Kamsa. Okay, now we went outside Vrindavan. That's alright. It's all still Krishna. Kamsa. Vyomasura was also there in Vrindavan. We didn't say. Shishupal.
Vyomasura.
Jarasandha was killed by?
Bhima.
By Krishna through Bhima. Kaliya wasn't killed actually. Alright, so Krishna killed so many demons. And to protect his devotees means he doesn't need to personally come to do that. But he comes to protect his devotees from the fire of separation that they are burning in. The fire of separation from him. So he performs many wonderful pastimes, which the non-devotees cannot understand at all. Because non-devotees cannot, even they cannot begin to understand how the Supreme Lord has pastimes. They think he's just some impersonal power or some cosmic law dispenser. You go to hell, you go to hell, you go to hell. You go to heaven, you go to hell, you go to heaven. They cannot conceive of how the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. That's why Krishna says, Janma karma chamedi yam evang yoveti tatvata takva deham kuna janma naiti maniti sojana. If one can understand the transcendental nature of his appearance and activities, he can go to Krishna. It's not so easy to understand Krishna's pastimes. In this regard, Kunti Devi, this verse we are reading today, she said, this is, I'm going to read 30 first. Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya katuratmanaha tiryanri shishu yadasu tadatyanta vidambanam. Now, that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha mezivyam. Again, this verse of Kunti Devi begins with the same words, Janma karma. And she gives some insight into why understanding Krishna's janma and karma is not so easy. Because it is bewildering. He is working, but he is inactive. In Bhagavad Gita he states, Upadrashtanumanta cha, I am the overseer and the permitter. He acts, but he does not accrue karmic reaction. Sometimes people say, well, Krishna is immoral, he's a liar, he's a lecher, and so many things. But Krishna does not accrue sinful reactions from doing so. Even when Krishna appears to do some pious activity, in Dwarka he would perform apparently pious activities, performing pious sacrifices, offering respect to elders. But he did not accrue pious karmic results to enjoy in the heavenly planets by doing so. Krishna is unborn, means he doesn't. We are taking birth in this material world to reap the results of our activities. But Krishna has no karmic result to reap, therefore he is unborn. But nevertheless, he appears to be born. And not only among human beings, but even among fishes. That's a pretty difficult one to understand, isn't it? Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe we can just begin to accept that. What about the supreme fish, the supreme tortoise, the supreme hog? We cannot accept this unless we accept that his appearance as a fish, a tortoise, a hog, a swan, whatever, it is of a completely different nature to that of a material fish, tortoise, hog, or swan. And if we think of him even as a, well, he's a great man, that's also incorrect. He is not a great man, he is above the status of being a human being. Therefore, Kunti Devi says, Naveda kaschit bhagavans jikirshitam tavehamanasya rinam vidambanam nayasya kaschit dayatosti kahichit dveshyash chayasmin vishamamatya rinam. Krishna's pastimes are transcendental. What does transcendental mean? Not material. Nirguna, nirguna. What does that mean, nirguna? Beyond the modes of material nature. Influenced by the mode of ignorance, we fall asleep at the wrong time. Influenced by the mode of passion, we become overly active. And influenced by the mode of goodness, we become detached from this material world. Although actually we have no real attachment to it anyway. But Krishna is beyond all these different phases of illusion. You can read the newspaper or watch the news on TV. What's the big news nowadays? What's going on in the world? Anyone got any idea? Kazan there's a thousand year celebration. Right, okay. That's the big news in Tatarstan. A thousand years of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending it. And passing stools. It's a lot of stool, if you think about it. Maybe why all the land around here is so rich. Alright, so that's the big news. By hearing about that, do we become purified? Apparently not. Krishna's activities seem to be similar. Krishna also eats, he sleeps, at least he seems to, because he says, yes, mother, now I'm going to sleep. And she goes away and he jumps out of the window and runs off to be with the gopis, eating, sleeping, mating. And so Krishna also has his love affairs. And he's also fighting. And even in the Bhagavatam, it's described that he's passing stool. Mm. How about that? What is the difference between Krishna's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending and our eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? Okay, right to say that in Russian. Krishna is not conditioned by the material laws, he's not bound by the material laws. He might appear to be, but we are in this material world being tied up or like puppets, and the string is pulled and we go like this. But for Krishna it is a stage for his supremely independent wonderful pastimes, just like Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. For others that is a very fearsome and dangerous situation. But Krishna took it as an opportunity to enjoy himself. So Krishna comes to this material world to enjoy himself. And simultaneously, he gives pleasure to his devotees, who take pleasure in considering that although this is the Supreme Lord, he has become a lover, friend, son, or master. But it's not easy to understand. Even Kunti Devi expresses difficulty in understanding this. How the supremely independent Lord becomes subordinate to his devotees, like Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda appears to be like a very ordinary village woman. Kunti Devi says, Kopyadide Twai Kritagasi Dhamatava Dhyate Dasashu Kaliranjana Sambramaksham Vatrang Niniya Bhaya Bhavanaya Stithasya Samang Vimohayati Bhirapi Yadvibheti. So these pastimes, these are exhibitions of the highest platform of the spiritual world, but they are enacted within the sphere of this material world just to give the conditioned souls the chance to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, and take pleasure in others doing so, because the result of that is, as described in the verse we read this morning, Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti. Nandanti means Nanda. What does this mean? Ananda. Nandanti means they take pleasure. Smaranti Nandanti Tave Hitanjanaha Ta Eva Pasyantya Chirena Tavakam Bhava Prabaho Paramam Padam Bhujam. So this verse is practically an elaboration on the Janma Karma Chame Devyam verse. And it is a summary of the verses that Kunti Devi spoke, including Janma Karma Cha Vishvatman, how Krishna comes to this world, what does he do? We were given so many definitions of Krishna. One definition Prabhupada gives, he stresses in the introduction to Nectar of Devotion, that Krishna is the supreme object of... That's correct. That everyone has the propensity to love. But by reposing that propensity in others than Krishna, we remain bound in this material world. But if we simply transfer that loving propensity to Krishna, then we will be fully satisfied. However much we try to love in the material world, we're always disappointed. We try to love our father and mother, our friends, our children, our spouse, but the ultimate result is always disappointment. Because even if we have very nice relations, either we have a disappointing relationship, or the relationship is pleasing, but it is broken by time. But if we love Krishna, we will never be disappointed. Because Krishna is the perfect master. Krishna is the perfect friend. Krishna is the perfect son, and Krishna is the perfect lover. And the relationship with Krishna continues even after death. Have you all heard of John Lennon? He was a famous singer. Yes. So he came with his second wife, Yoko Ono, to meet Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was staying at his estate, actually. No, it was John Lennon's estate, not George Harrison's.
Oh, yeah.
Tittenhurst. The transcript of their conversation is edited and published in English. Is it there in Russian? Right, okay. I don't think this comes in the transcript. They didn't include everything. Mm-hmm. But then there's one part where John and Yoko ask Prabhupada that, can you give us blessings to that we can be together in the next life also? Prabhupada said that the nature of this material world is separation. But with Krishna, we can be eternally related with him. And in fact, we are already that related with him. Our relationship with him is natural and eternal. But we have willingly forgotten Krishna. To rectify this abnormal and abominable condition, we should hear and chant about and remember Krishna and take pleasure in others doing so. And by doing so, we will revive our natural loving propensity for Krishna. So there are many reasons why Krishna comes to this world. Kunti Devi elaborates on them.
Kunti Devi.
One major reason is to exhibit his pastimes to attract the conditioned souls back to his loving service. In material consciousness, we have the tendency to read fiction. Is it not foolish to read fiction? No, fiction just means like novels, made-up stories.
Yeah.
Nowadays they have soap operas. It's just someone imagines some imaginary person and they have some imaginary activities with other imaginary people. It is of no value whatsoever. But the tendency to hear fiction or even to hear biography. Biography means we like to hear about some great person. Gospodin Putin must be coming to Kazan. What is that? He came yesterday. So it's a big event
for Tatarstan
because he's a great person of this planet at the present time. Yeah, it's a fact at the present time. He's a prominent person in the world. So why don't you all go to Kazan? Maybe you could see him. You have something better to do here? What is that? To hear about, chant about, remember Krishna, and to take pleasure in others doing. Because, no doubt, Gospodin Putin is a very important person. But Krishna is ochin, ochin, ochin many, many times more important than Gospodin Putin. And even for that matter, all of you are more important than him. I don't know if we said this publicly, we might be arrested and put in jail. Certainly in the communist times, if someone said, I'm more important than Khrushchev or whatever, then we would have been given an invitation to Khrushchev's free lodging in Khrushchev's hotel. Free lodging and food, bread and water. But all of you are more important than Gospodin Putin because you are hearing, chanting about, remembering and taking pleasure in others doing so about Krishna. So let us read about Krishna. Let us hear about Krishna. All of you have the Krishna book in your homes. Prabhupada writes in there that the tendency to read fiction can be directed to Krishna for the imperishable satisfaction of the soul. Krishna book. It's in the introduction. Prabhupada writes about Krishna book. Just by reading this one book, Krishna, love of Godhead, will fructify. And at the end of Krishna book, after going through all, 90 chapters, Prabhupada writes, if one wants the association of Lord Krishna in the transcendental kingdom of God for eternity in blissful existence, would you all want to have the association of Lord Krishna in the transcendental kingdom of God for eternity in blissful existence? Da. What's the opposite? Yuck. Is it yuck? Yuck. I learned my first word of Tata yesterday. Grace of Acharyini Nandi Mukhi. So what do we have to do if we want the association of Lord Krishna in the transcendental kingdom of God for eternity and blissful existence? What do you think, Acharyini Nandi Mukhi? What should we do? That's true. Alright, what else? Anything else? Well, Prabhupada writes here, one must hear about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. E. Bhaktarit. Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now listen to this. The transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. Simply by reading this book, we can go back to Godhead. When you all get back home, you better get your Krishna books. And looks like I was going to say our book distributors, they can also distribute them. But they're not here. They all left. Maybe they got so enthusiastic, they already left to distribute Krishna books. The descriptions of the pastimes of Lord Krishna is so attractive that automatically it gives us impetus to study repeatedly. And the more we study the pastimes of the Lord, the more we become attached to Him. This very attachment to Krishna makes one eligible to be transferred to His abode, Golok Vrindavan. So you all please hear, read and memorize this book, Krishna. Memorize means we should be able to repeat the stories to others so that others can take pleasure in hearing. But our one godbrother, Prahladananda Swami, you all know Prahladananda Swami, he comes to Russia. So he took this very seriously, memorizing. So he memorized the whole Krishna book, word by word. He can sit down and just say every word, word by word. Can you do that, Chandrasekhar? Me neither. I mean, that's pretty good memory. But anyway, we should
read about, regularly study, and remember these pastimes. I'd like to do that. Nandi Mukhi, you're reading so much. You can learn all the different pastimes and tell others, so that when you meet the devotees, instead of saying, Gospodin Putin is coming to Kazan, we can say, Krishna is going to the... Oh, it's now it's time for Krishna to go out to the forest. And Mother Yashoda is trying to pull him back. No, come on, it's time for lunch. And the cowherd boys are saying, no, Krishna, you can't leave. We're in the middle of our game. You'll spoil the game. And Krishna's in a dilemma. What to do? So you can remember all these pastimes and purify our tongues. As Prabhupada writes in chapter 7 of Krishna book, that this Krishna treatise is meant for that purpose, to hear the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and thus purify oneself and reach the ultimate goal of life. So today is Janmashtami, and especially on this day, we want to hear about, chant about, and remember the pastimes of Lord Krishna's taking birth. And throughout the year, we have the opportunity to remember so many wonderful pastimes of the Lord, including those of Nrsimhadev. So by remembering these pastimes, we become purified. And if we don't remember these pastimes, then we start to want to have our own kind of pastime. But our own mundane pastimes are imitations of Krishna's pastime. And instead of releasing us from the bondage of time in this material world, they cause us to pass more time within this material world. Which pun you are. Play on words you can't translate into Russian. So let us pass our time in this material world by hearing and chanting about Krishna. There are so many other things we could discuss. Shruta vyadini rajendra nirang santi sahasrashah apashyatam atmatattvam grihishu grihame dinam. The materialistic persons have thousands and thousands of subjects for discussing. They're ignorant of the atmatattva, knowledge of the soul. Therefore they are tied up like a post, like animals at a post within this material world. So instead of discussing the activities of this material world, let us discuss the activities of the spiritual world. And in this way, transfer our consciousness to the spiritual world and go there to be with Krishna eternally. So, hearing about Krishna and chanting the Maha Mantra. So now we're going to chant the Maha Mantra, as we do every year, in the marketplace of Navarijnichal. So, get out your mridangas and your kartals and let's go.